Radio of, for, and by we the working people. The Rick Smith Show.
Yes, waiting for the hammer to fall. And look, all of this stuff coming out about Russia, USA Today had a big story, an extensive piece on the connections between the president and the Russian mob and all that going on. And you look at just all of the insanity. And look, it's not going away no matter how much Donald Trump tweets out to watch Fox News about Hillary and watch Fox News about Podesta. The arrows still pointed directly at him and his campaign staff and really this administration. It's not ending. No matter how many times Chairman Nunes runs to the White House, not ending. And here to talk a little bit about, what we're seeing, what we may see in the coming days. I've asked Andrea Chalupa. She's a journalist, author of Orwell and the Refugees. Also, Sarah Kendzior is here as well, political commentator. Thanks for taking time for us.
Thank you.
Rick, Sarah and I wanted to give you the exclusive, something that only RT would dream of. We're thinking of giving it to RT, but we'll give it to you first. So we're finally coming out as lesbian lovers, cheating on our husbands together, united in our love for taking down tyranny. You got it, Rick. You got it here first.
Okay,
we'll be on the front pages of Kremlin TV tomorrow.
And that's,
you know, just widely spread rumors about us, by the way. Andrea is sarcastically clarifying.
And we do porn.
And I'm sure that the Twitter sphere is going to go wild with this, because I'm sure this is what the right wing has been fantasizing about for some time.
Yes.
Unfortunately.
The Party of Values has been fantasizing about these things for some time. Okay, so go on. Lay it on us, Rick. We are together.
But seriously, I mean, that's a great thing, and I'm happy for you, and I hope you'll do well. Where do we send the wedding gift?
We'll send you an address. It's got to be
square.
All righty.
Okay.
But just let me know where you're registered, and we'll make sure that we send something along. But in looking at this, and hopefully the gift will be an impeachment of the Donald. What are you seeing? What are you seeing right now?
Well, I think we're seeing a lot of panic, and with panic comes a lot of mistakes, and we've definitely got the, Sarah and I were just talking about this, because actually all we do is talk about this when we're together. The reason why you had guys like Flynn calling the Russian ambassador five times on the day that sanctions dropped is because these guys were operating undercover. We had the media giving them a pass during the election on the whole Russia story. Russiagate was considered largely a conspiracy theory for tinfoil hat pundits to really push on social media, like Sarah and I.
Yes.
And so meanwhile, these guys like Flynn were able to do stupid things out in the open that are now catching up to them because the media simply was not on this. So they're not equipped to really cover their tracks. They're not smart. They're not playing chess whatsoever. And they're teamed up with the Russians, who do everything out in the open, like invade Crimea and call it a referendum, invade Ukraine and say, oh, no, that's not our tanks and heavy machinery being driven into Ukraine. So the Russians are used to doing everything out in the open and denying it, too. So essentially, these guys are just going to be providing a lot of bombshells in the weeks and months to come around Russiagate because they're just so sloppy and not prepared for the crisis that hit them.
Yeah, I mean, do you think Flynn flipped? I mean, is that because I'm hearing a lot of that you know, as quickly as Flynn turned on Obama, he's turning on Trump.
We think that Flynn may have flipped, but have been too stupid to realize that he flipped, contrary to Manafort or some of the more seasoned players in this game.
Right. And so, yeah, from a very good source who's close to the investigations, I've heard that Flynn is now working on Team Comey and that he has no choice. I mean, the guy got caught wanting to kidnap Gulen and send him back to Turkey. I mean, that's a federal crime.
Yeah, he's been on a number of levels because of both the Turkish and the Russia connection. So he's kind of in his own category. And if they're going to get somebody who has information about, you know, all sorts of different facets of this controversy, it's going to be Flynn versus the other guys. And he's been quiet, unlike the other quote unquote volunteers who are so eager to spread their wisdom to our leadership.
And what makes Flynn so juicy is that he was unstable to begin with, and he's a guy that lived in his own alternative universe. So you could just see him trying to reason with the FBI and really try, weave him deeper into his own web. So Flynn was definitely low-hanging fruit for Comey.
Yeah, I mean, you got to remember that Flynn is somebody who wants to buy mind-reading equipment from a former KGB agent, so you're not really playing with the brightest bulb here.
Right. I mean, there was in D.C., they call it Flynn facts.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, it's all funny and it's almost comical, but it's sad that this guy was where he was, and it's sad that we've got this guy sitting in the White House. I mean, this sounds like a really poorly written 1980s kind of Soviet spy movie.
I agree. We deserve better.
Yeah, better spy movies and better
spies. Right, with lesbian lovers. I'm right there with you.
Exactly. We need that plot twist. But yeah, I mean, it's pathetic that he got to any of the positions he was, because, as Andrea was saying, like, he's never been subtle about his intentions. Trump hasn't been. The team hasn't been. And it is true that they relied on, a fairly, black kind of media that wasn't going to interrogate the situation, that was going to treat it as a ludicrous conspiracy, and on, a government that was either too powerless or too inept to pursue it. And now that it finally is being pursued, I think there's more of an element of, concern on their part. But it's ridiculous that this is happening in March. These sort of proceedings should have been investigated over the summer when this first came to light, when Harry Reid first wrote his letter to Comey and, and made it public so that Americans could know that the election could be, as he said, falsified. That should have been an issue of deep concern. And unfortunately, it flew under the radar for a lot of people.
Yeah, I mean, I was at the Republican and the Democratic National Conventions, and that was the... when you were talking to people off mic and, in the hallways, the Russian thing kept coming up over and over and over again. And at the Republican convention, it was like it was the open secret that everybody knew, and they seemed to kind of condone.
Right. Well, what everyone needs to pay attention to now, the big shoe that's going to drop, is we know from the intelligence report that Obama had the FBI, the CIA, the NSA do together. We know for a fact that the Russians hacked not only the Republican Party, but Republican leaders as individually. So what I'm hearing from a very credible source is that the Russians funneled dark money to the Republican Party, and these guys accepted it. And now they're on the hook with money tied to Russia. It's a very classic known trick that the Kremlin does to not only bribe people but to blackmail them. It's the golden handcuff. It's like, you've taken our money, we have that on you, we could hang that over you. So the big thing that we have to understand is that just like the DNC, the Republican Party was hacked. Republican leaders were hacked. And so now we're dealing with a crisis where the party that's in charge of federal government is being blackmailed by the Kremlin. And so that is something that investigative reporters have to look into. And we're seeing now bizarre behavior, extremely bizarre behavior by Nunes, who's acting out of his mind, going to the White House, refusing to share sources with his own committee. I mean, this is just like a blatant disregard for our Constitution.
Yeah, I mean, and again, you come back to it, and I've been saying this for months, that the Russians just didn't get the DNC. They got everybody, and I want to know what they're holding over. And when Nunes ran to the White House with his, I got a secret, you knew that, at least I thought, someone's pulling that string, because no sane, rational person does that. I mean, they just don't do it.
Yeah, and I think with Nunes, you're getting somebody who's, an amateur, who's out of his depth, who has no experience in this kind of thing. And I think, a lot of, confidence was falsely instilled into certain low-level ranking people in the Republican Party that everything would be fine, that Trump would be the president, that they had a, GOP-dominated Congress, that things would go through, in part because, Trump got away with so much in the past and the GOP got away with so much. And with Nunes, you can see him visibly panicking. You can see him freaking out. And I think, he's kind of, low-hanging fruit in a lot of this. I think that He reveals a lot both in what he says and what he doesn't say and in the manner that he doesn't say it. So if anything, he's fun to watch. But, I think his political career is either short-lived or taking a rather unsavory turn.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, and as I've been saying for the last couple of weeks, a lot of these people better not be walking near open windows.
Exactly. The Christopher Steele dossier death count continues.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of it, so let me ask you, in looking at this, are we going to eventually figure all, because this looks really complicated. I don't know that the average American is going to really grasp all of the avenues and all of the directions and all of the ties here. Do you think this eventually comes around to where even the most ardent Trump supporter goes, this is a bridge too far?
Well, you see it now with Russia. What was essentially happening is that you have Putinism essentially of invading America, and that is you have this oligarch ruling class that steals from the people and has total disregard for the people, and it's just blatant corruption. And that's the cancer that's taken hold with this administration, and that's Putinism at its core. Putin's Russia is a mafia state. Trump, with all of his Russian mafia ties, wants to make America into a mafia state. And so eventually the Trump supporters are going to suffer. They're going to feel the pain, but it's going to take time. And there's going to be a lot of, destroyed lives in the meantime. So we can't wait to get to that point for things to turn. What we need is, to support the free press, to support investigations that are going to take the time they need to take, because there's a lot of unraveling to do here, a lot of bombshells yet to drop, and we need a strong, organized, civic movement like Indivisible, swing left, because there's a lot of power right now in organization. And one thing that Sarah and I are very passionate about, that we're very outspoken about, is our election integrity, election security, and of course voter suppression, because just like in Putin's Russia, this corrupt Republican Party depends on low voter turnout and relies on restricting the vote and in some cases stealing the vote where they can. So we have to be extremely vigilant on election security, election protection.
Because I'm glad you hit on that, because I've been saying for a long time, because I've had people tell me, this Russia story, this is what they stole the election. I'm going, no, this election was stolen long before the first ballot was ever cast, because of all the states that have these voter suppression laws, like the voter ID and all of the cross check and all of that stuff. To me, that's more important than the Russia thing. The Russia thing's important, but to me, the other stuff is long term much more important to me.
Yeah, and I mean, I think they're related. Like in terms of what Andrea just said about this becoming a mafia state, the U.S. already had these kind of conditions. That was how Trump was able to rise to power in the first place, and he's been exploiting legal loopholes in a way very similar to basically an aspiring oligarch for a long time. And we've had this issue of voter suppression for a long time, but especially since the VRA was partially repealed in 2013. And so, yeah, I think, when you look at the Russia scandal, when you look at domestic issues, it's important to look at the ways that they're connected and in the ways that the Trump administration just shares philosophies, shares goals with the Kremlin. Sometimes those are personal goals in terms of things like money laundering or exploiting, for example, the energy industry in order to get personal profit. But they're also ideological goals in which, the most vulnerable citizens, the most marginalized citizens are held back while a tiny group of elites, usually in some kind of dynastic fashion, manages to hold power and abuse executive office and abuse political power for financial gain.
Yeah, but I've been saying that's been the Republican Party for 30 years. I mean, there's no news there.
Yeah, it's just gotten worse. I think it's just taken to a level that's unprecedented, but it's been building for such a long time and has gotten less and less regulated over time with fewer, checks on what they're doing, that I think we're now kind of seeing it at its apex. And I think that people are fed up. I mean, a lot of people did vote for Trump because they were economically suffering. They still are. They thought that he might make it better. They thought he might bring jobs back. And, that condition is a result of a lot of these policies that really came to play around with Reagan. And I think if people realize that he's not going to solve their problems, it can go in a number of ways. Like Trump could potentially scapegoat, ethnic minorities, which is what he does. And it depends whether or not, those voters actually fall for that, or whether they demand a more accountable government, you know, a more concerned government, a government that is, you know, there to help them and, you know, help give them opportunities for jobs and, you know, to support themselves. And we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a rough ride.
Yeah. Last question I've got for you in looking at this, will there be an investigation? And if so, will part of that investigation be to find out what the Russians have over the entire political class in this country?
Well, there are several investigations ongoing into Trump, Russia, and collusion. You have a number of investigations inside the House, inside the Congress. You have the FBI investigation. I believe there are three, you know, counterterrorism, cyber, and one other. So there are several investigations that are ongoing into Russiagate. You know, people have to remember that the House in Congress is famous for its vulgarity. It's famous for its shenanigans, like what Nunes is doing. But Nunes is quite an extreme case, of course. You know, I always tell people the House is a high school cafeteria food fight. The Senate, that's where the adults are.
Right.
So the Senate is a lot more bipartisan, and they're going to, you know, really, they're going to redeem the House and Congress, their investigation, you'll see. So there's a lot more that is still to come out through these investigations, through the public hearings, as well as in the Washington Post, New York Times, and a lot of other investigative outlets. So I think the American people should be encouraged, but I think the one thing we should be vigilant of is that, you know, when the Trump administration is panicking, and in their panic, they might do something crazy, and something that Putin did when he first came to power, and his ratings were very low, just like Trump's ratings are very low right now. Putin, it's largely believed that Putin staged a false flag event, a bombing in Moscow that killed people, his own people. So I think Americans have to brace themselves for a false flag event. You need to accept the possibility now. You need to, whatever you need to do, cry in the shower, just get it out. But understand that that could be coming. Yeah. And don't be paralyzed when it comes. Take to the streets, lead a march. We're far more powerful than the voters realize. Like, the power is in our hands to stand up to this and to stop this. So the number one weapon they have is fear. You have to take that away from them.
I mean, okay. You're right. I expect either something along those lines or a war of some sort to make him a wartime president. Scary, scary, scary stuff. But Andrea and Sarah, I appreciate you taking time for us. I wish you nothing but the best in your newfound nuptials and good luck.
Oh, thank you.
Jackie, Papa, Eric, thank you.
Thank you so much, Andrea Chalupa and Sarah Kenzie. I think that's a joke. I think it's kind of funny, okay? Don't get too crazy. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
The Rick Smith Show.